you know, just getting tons of great interviews with Tallow Steves, initially with Total Blue Sports. Back in the day, well, you know, that was some good times. And then you've moved on to bigger and better things there with the Deseret News. And you continue to follow the Cougs and both football and basketball. I know you've been following the recruiting battles that have been heating up across the state. We'll get into that a little bit. I want to get your thoughts there.
How do I have a successful career like you? How do I do that? How do I get my own show like Ben? I'm kind of campaigning right now.
That is a question I don't think anyone's ever posed to me for my entire life.
Whatever. For Gurney, it's all about relationships. That's what
connections.
Connections and his relationship.
Yeah, or lack of ambition and just being content staying in the same place.
That's not true.
Anyway, I'm very happy to be with the Deseret News. It's been very fun covering BYU sports. I got to cover the Criddle dynasty, which gave way to the Brian Logan dynasty of BYU, and some
the Criddle dynasty, whatever. Criddle,
you got a dynasty.
No, you guys were great players. I mean, that's the best thing about this job is just meeting the players and building relationships with those guys. You really get to know their stories and like them and really appreciate where they come from. And that's the best part of this job. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can get frustrated with the new media and all the Twitter all the rules and all that. But when it comes down to it, BYU's still able to attract some very high-quality kids. And whenever you're upset about things, you just listen to their stories. And by and large, they're guys worth cheering for. They're high-quality, good-character kids. And that's why I think most people are BYU fans, and that's why they'll continue to be BYU fans.
Well, and that's why the media is important, because you're able to profile these young men and create a following for these young men. And like once you get to know them, then you're more willing to cheer for them. You're more willing to sit through sleet, rain, snow, and cheer on your favorite players. Really, that's what it comes down to. You know, when you're watching a game and you have a friend or a family member playing, or even an acquaintance that you know you really like. It makes it a more rabid fan base.
It's a whole another level, because my wife, we got married my senior year, so this will be the last class for her. Just knowing the guys, you know, like Alani, and she's best friends with his wife and Jordan Johnson, and going to the bowl game, having those experiences, and she's like, shoot, I don't care. Next year, I'm not gonna watch.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody. I mean, I think Sam Lee we had over a couple times.
Sam the man.
But I definitely get what you're saying. You get to. So you guys have your favorites too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
he never got to know me. He didn't care about me.
We were just talking about. Just before we went on, Brian, you were a go-to interview. Man, I need a quote. Where do I go to? Brian Logan? I don't remember you, Criddle.
It's okay, man. Let's be honest. Like, none of the white dudes ever have anything good to say. It's always like, Jake Caressa. He always had a good thing.
Oh, Jake always had something to say.
Dan Coates.
Curtis Brown.
Yep. Brian Keel was typically is
well,
okay?
Well, if you want to just rays of sunshine to send.
Yeah, they're like, we're just
That was Brian Keel. Brian's awesome. You'll never hear negative things come out of that guy's mouth.
Yeah, he can always spin it to a positive tone, can he? Yeah, he's an amazing man. He really
He could be
is.
Like homeless in like a cardboard box and be like, hello. Hello, I'm good. Smile on his face. No, I love B. Big B.
We're talking so positively right now, let's be a little bit more level-headed. We're talking recruiting right now with Brandon Gurney. Brian and I have already sounded off, and we've got to get Brandon's opinion on what's occurring in-state. There's still some uncommitted recruits out there, am I right, for the top 10 in-state guys?
The two big ones, the big one's Porter Gustin. The reason and Christian Falau, two guys I forget. The reason I don't focus on them is BYU has no chance with either of them. They're out of it.
Where do you see either one of those guys going?
I think Porter really liked USC. He's really liked USC throughout. I think Osa Messina committing to USC really helps there. I think it's USC. But you throw Ohio State, which he just took an official trip. They're a hot school right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say probably either USC or Ohio State is where I would say for Porter. It's really hard to know. I've gotten in the habit of prognosticating choices for 16 and 17-year-old kids. It's not a good thing to get into.
How often do you get emails and tweets just just ragging on you?
Well, I'm smarter about it now. I mean, back in the day, you know, you don't make definitive statements with recruit. You just don't do it. I think it's USC. Don't hold me to that. Don't bash me. If it's not that, but the two big guys that BYU still in play with, and is Gabe Reed and Mufi Hunt. Gabe Reed, I don't like BYU's chances. I'll be honest. That helps Utah, big time. Those kids are tight. They want to play with each other at the next level.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's huge. I thought BYU was going to get Covey. I'll go on record. Throughout all of it, I thought when it came down to it, Covey would look at academics and all that, and he'd come home to BYU. He committed to Utah.
Do you think, I mean, that's something that you said earlier with, you know, Ohio State's a hot school right now. You think with I'm sorry. That sounded really, really good when I said hot because of my voice.
So hot right now.
Do you think that is the issue right now with BYU and losing these recruits to Utah with the years that they had, right?
Yeah, it plays. No question it plays this year. No question. You see BYU getting done by Nevada, Reno, and Memphis, and Utah's, you know, they're finally competing in the Pac-12. I mean,
and they just obliterated Colorado State in that bowl game. It was not even close. It's like, no, like, we've moved on from the Mountain West. We're not even in the same league.
Yeah.
And then BYU, it's like, oh, no, we've taken it to the next level. We're independent. And you get beat by an AAC team.
Yeah. Obviously, that's not a good thing. You're going to but that's the thing. It's just 1 year.
Yeah.
But when you couple that Utah's in the Pac-12 and BYU still, what is BYU? Where are they? There's still a lot of question marks. That plays. I mean, it absolutely plays with recruits, and it should play.
How much do you hear with recruits on just the small, simple things, and then obviously the big things? So small things like, hey, I get to get an iPad if I go to BYU, or you know, we get to have, you know, four different jersey combinations, or, you know, there's a brand new indoor facility being built right now for Utah. How much do you think that plays a role into a kid's decision?
I think it does, but I don't think most kids really admit to that. If you know what I'm saying, that's not they usually just give you the spiel, just like, I'm really committed to that coach. I really like that coach. And those are the important things. I think most kids, that's the important thing. But I think those are factors for sure. My most memorable conversation I've ever had with a recruit, and I can't remember the kid's name for the life of me, but it was a kid that was deciding between BYU, Colorado State, and San Diego State. And BYU, like, dropped him. And he informed me on that call. So, you know, I wasn't really interested. But I decided to do the interview anyway. He says, well, I went to Colorado State. Why'd you go to Colorado State? And the kid actually told me, he says, well, they offered me more money.
More money?
On record.
What?
And I immediately just, like, went into that. Well, what do you mean? Just more of that? And I mean, this is Colorado State.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just makes you wonder what goes on. I mean, what is being offered these kids beyond what we're being told?
I have some stories too, not personal stories, but from, you know, my friends growing up, I've heard some crazy stories that involve San Diego State. And these are kind of back in the day, but yeah, definitely. I mean, with BYU, let's say, I mean, BYU hasn't done really well in independent the last few years. And obviously that's going to play a role in recruiting. So if they're not able to get over the hump, the 8-5 hump, so to speak, and start to have these, 10-3 seasons, 11-2 seasons as an independent, what can they do to attract the recruits? I mean, facilities, or, you know, offering more money, I guess?
No, BYU's never going to do that. I don't know why I shouldn't have brought that up, but I just thought about that just on a whim.
That's real. This happens, people. It's real.
Oh, it's very real. It's very real. But
no, there was a recent recruit out of Texas. I took his trip to, I believe it was...
he tweeted all the dollars.
He tweeted all the money. He tweeted just like this stack full of money. It's what?
Come on, man. Come on, dude.
Oh, man. Well, back in the day when I went to the scout.com conferences, the stories you would hear are unbelievable, especially from the SEC guys.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the SEC.
That's guys. A whole. Oh, we're joking right now. We're like, oh, my it gosh, that's real. A whole another world, man.
Well, that's why they were so, you know, just adamant about adding more money to the pot, right? I mean, pay for play. anything they can do to give a competitive advantage to them and separate themselves from the competition.
Yep,
and that's how it's going to be. And BYU needs to obviously figure out where they stand in all this. But you're not going to change. You have men that are running the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that are, I mean, they're leery about putting forth money and resources to something that they've gotten a great ROI on without putting a full lot of resources on. I mean, you've been spoiled over the years. I mean, you paid a coach that was worth $2 million a year. You were paying him like $150,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what they expect. When you've been able to get an ROI like that, and you're like, well, why would we need to spend any more money when we've been great?
Yeah.
We're in the whole conversation of, well, we're in the black. It's like, well, yeah, we're in the black. I mean, but you know, a lot of other schools that are state schools, I mean, they spend all their money for a reason. I mean, they're in the red for a reason. They want to be in the red.
Yep.
They want to spend all of their money because that's what's been allocated to them by the state.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. That whole, you know, we're in the black. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm sorry. But, you know, I still think there are some positive things happening right here. I look at who it has committed to BYU. Let's talk positively for a second, because BYU lost James Empey. I wish BYU would have gotten on these young men earlier. That was the biggest thing, right? It's just being able to evaluate talent quicker. Just understand that these guys were Division I athletes and offer them and show them love and say, hey, we want you, we need you. James Empey and Britton Covey should have been offered a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit late, but why do you think that is? Why are they waiting so long to offer these young men?
It's a good question, and we talked about offensive linemen before. They need offensive line depth immediately, and they know that James Empey is going on a mission. So maybe it's that easily explained, but they miss that. I think if you really held the coaches down, you won't hear this on letter of intent day because everything's positive on letter of intent day.
Right.
But if you put them down, yeah, we were slow on Empey. That guy, I watched a lot of high school football. You can't tell me there was a better offensive lineman in the state than James Empey. I saw him play a lot, and he was dominant. He was much better than Brandon Bowen, who I saw play, who's committed to Ohio State that's going there. And I'd put him in the same class as a guy like Andre James, who is committed to everybody. I don't have the answer to that, but Brian brought up a good point. BYU's calling card is always going to be the atmosphere. That's in addition to that, academics for just your Mormon guys. That's kind of gone away from the local kids a little bit.
Yep.
It kind of has. And I would argue that it's more of a thing for out-of-state LDS kids than in-state LDS kids. Mm-hmm. In-state LDS kids,
they've been surrounded by all their
lives. You have it already.
Yeah. It's like, nothing's okay, I know this. I can go somewhere else and do that. For an out-of-state guy, it's like, yes, I finally get to go to a place like BYU
and I get
where I can be
like-minded
surrounded by
people, have a better
it's
support
It's a bigger
system.
Thing for out-of-state guys.
Or they their minds are blown when they
arrive.
Yeah. They're like, wait.
Because like me, I'm like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying here, you bought a house. I'm here, you know, regardless if I make this a full-time job or not, I would love to. Sorry, I'm campaigning again. But I'm just saying, I'm still going to stay here. My son, I feel bad. I feel kind of upset for my son because I know what it's like outside of BYU and let's just say Utah, and having to walk around with dirt on the ground and walk around, you know, looking behind your
and
back.
If someone has a gun, like,
right,
and they shouldn't
that's
have
what,
a gun.
Right, that's what I mean. Having to lock my doors all the time, waking up in the middle of the night to lock my doors. And he's going to be wanting to get the heck out of here. He's like, bye, Dad, Mom, deuces, I'm out. I want to go see the world. And
he's going to know what deuces are.
Right. He may not know. He may not know. I may have an urban dictionary for him.
Like, I say,
hey, son, this word's translated to this. This
is what we're going to have to start the club of the band of brothers real quick for your son.
Dude, it's
going to
be
around others.
It's going to be so funny. Like, I can't wait till we go to Christmas and he sees like the black side and goes to Christmas, you know, the next year and sees the white side and like, what? And, Two different worlds. Gonna be funny. We always joke about that, but no, I agree what you're saying. And like you said, we brought this up earlier as well with a guy like Jordan Leslie.
Yeah.
You know, coming in and seeing, wow, yes, I'm dying to come in here. But I don't know. I think you have to find other ways. To me, it's about getting guys to the next level, and then it's about what's appealing for the kid at now right now with the jerseys and things like that. And I think if BYU can find a way to do that the right now, the little small things, I think really make the difference for a recruit.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. This year they're missing out on too many guys that they should get. Sure. BYU 5 years ago, the second they offer Britton Covey or James Ampey, they're in. It doesn't matter. That's not the case anymore. And you have to bring up Utah with that. You just have to. Utah's just become more attractive.
They all right, stop being so negative, guys. Let's start some positive.
It's not really negative.
Let's start. In my opinion, the crowning jewel of this class right now is
Kiefer Longson.
Well, I like Kiefer Longson a lot.
He's not your crowning jewel.
He's not. He's not actually. I mean, even though, typically I am an avid proponent, a very vocal proponent of just getting the best offensive lineman available, yeah. Right? And I think he's going to be awesome. But you know who's kind of flipped my world upside down? Tijan Kuroma being like a 1.5 star, 5'9", 250-pound center that just dominates other men that are twice his size. I mean, really, I'm like, wow. I don't even care about the stars anymore. I'm just looking at, ability on that film. And the guy that I'm just elated over right now, because I think you're in dire need of a running back that has breakaway speed off the edge just to be a dynamic playmaker. And I hope he comes in with he seems, articulate, smart, seems like he's got a good set of friends, seems like he's got his mind right. Charles West right now, because you're in need of a running back to accent the running ability of Taysom Hill. And then Swag Daddy, we don't know what's going on with him. I'm sure he's in the process of rehabilitating that knee and getting to 100%, but you can't count on him being 100% right now.
Yeah.
You need someone to come in right away and be able to tote that rock. And hopefully he doesn't fumble a lot, but his film looked great. To me, that's what you needed. You need a running back right now, because I think you're going to have, Taysom's going to be back. Yeah, I think he's going to be better. I think he's going to be a better passer. Because he's had to work on it. He's going to be forced to be a better passer. He's going to have to adapt, which is what he needed to do in the first time around.
Especially with the backup situation.
But the offensive line's going to be better. Yeah, I mean, you're relying on Bo Hodge and Tanner Mangum right now. And I've been on the phone. I've been trying to text and talk to as many people within the BYU football program as possible, saying, what is up with no JC quarter? We need a JC. Yeah. Why can't we get Alex Caressa? Well, Alex isn't who we are necessarily looking for right now at that quarterback position. I'm like, why not? I still don't understand why. I mean, there might be some reasoning behind it. I understand that, but
Isn't he like 5'7"?
No, he grew. He's 6 foot tall now.
He grew
from his mission. That's what Polynesians do, dude. They go on a mission and they come back and they're like 50 pounds heavier and they're 2 inches tall.
Linebackers become defensive linemen.
I'm dead serious. Yeah. Like, Fuivakapuna came back and just yoked. I'm talking like Gold's Gym mission.
He's a grown man.
Amazing.
I couldn't believe how well he came off his mission.
Just ridiculous, right? Oh, so we heard a story from John LaFollette, our producer. So he served in the Carlsbad mission, right? Uh-huh. And apparently, so it was like 2 years after Fui left the mission. And so you're sitting around the table, you're talking to parents, you're getting to know, the family, and they're talking about, inevitably it's brought up, oh, we really miss Elder such and such. We really miss Elder Vakapuna. Oh, why? Because he used to knock people out when they would disrespect him or the church on the streets. I just go left hook with him. I'm like, what'd you say?
I would not Bible bash with Fui Buck.
No, I don't think anyone Bible bashed with Fui after that. But anyways, I thought it was an interesting story. But going back to that, in my opinion, the crown jewel of this class, I think Charles West is a huge pickup. What have you learned about Charles West, and what can you tell us about him?
I'm under the radar guy, but that's the beauty of Texas. You can go in there. There's so much football. There's so many kids that play football. There's so much talent. It's a focus of BYU. Coach Holliday's kind of turned that around.
Can we get him a raise? Like, can we have like a finder's fee he gets a guy that runs like a sub 10.6?
He's
just put a sub 11.
He just started like a pot right now, like a charity pot.
Yeah. I want to get him some finder's fees.
You think maybe their emphasis of going out of state and maybe focusing on these areas like Texas is the reason why they're not focusing so much in state?
Maybe.
I mean, but then you got to ask the question of why would you do that? Because you want a guy, we call him a BYU kid, a kid that is going to come in, can follow the honor code, you know, is LDS and things
not
like that.
Not going to be kind of like, I hate to say it, but you have to yellow card some people. You got to put like some warning stickers on these young men that haven't been in this atmosphere, because, you know, that temptation will rear its ugly head. I can guarantee. Yeah. Just because it's BYU doesn't mean there's not a whole lot of women out there that want to take advantage of these poor, unsuspecting, you know, athletes.
Why are you looking at me, man? Man, I got a ring.
I'm just saying, man. You don't know. A lot of these guys, they sign the honor code. Listen, this is what happens, dude. They're like, oh yeah, no, I won't, no drinking, no smoking. I don't care, no women. I don't care, man. I just want to make it to the league. Yep. You know, do my thing. And then all of a sudden they get to BYU thinking that no one does any of that stuff. And then, like, a woman just throws themselves at her, like, because they've been watching BET. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, look at this new booty pop. I've been learning. And they're like, what, man? What's going on? And then temptation rears its ugly head. And they don't know how to say no. They don't know how to say no. And, like, that same girl's like, here, I got some Cristal I got from, like, my parents' house or a friend's house. You know, and they're like, what? What's going on here?
College is a college regardless of where you're at. And there's other schools that, you know, have honor codes. They obviously don't follow through just like BYU does, or it's not, you know, in the media like BYU. But, you know, like TCU and Baylor and schools like that. But the thing is this, a college is college. I'll tell you where the real trick is, man. It's from UVU in Utah. That's where it's those girls. Yep, I said it. BYU is not so bad. I'm just saying, it's not so bad. You still have the temptations, right? Just like any other school, like I said. However, you people do have an understanding and a mindset that, yeah, I did sign the honor code. And so, yeah, I don't want to, you know, mm-hmm. put this in jeopardy, my opportunity. But when you go down the street, you know, a 30-second drive, and you see UVU women's, it's like, what? And I say women's. You see them, and it's like, man, that's a whole another world. It's like, how did I just drove 30 seconds down the street, and it's a whole another.
All these sheltered young singles just flow into Utah Valley, and all of a sudden they got freedom, and they just go crazy. I guess you can say Mormon crazy, because there's some other schools that are, I mean, 10 times. I mean, still stone cold sober school at BYU, but
that's because they have to say that. We took a survey of BYU, and 99.9% of students said they don't drink. Well, duh, they're gonna get kicked out if they do. Come on, man. Like, let's be realistic here.
Well, some of it's anonymous, Brian. A survey doesn't always ask you your name, your last name,
saying,
and your date of birth.
I'm just saying, I never was a part of this survey. I'm just saying. See, I'm talking Brandon. You're looking at me with that look. I'm turning my mic right now. See, look, if I was one of those kids, and if I was a part of drinking or whatever, and they wanted to take a survey, first of all, I would say yes, because I don't want it to look weird.
Yeah, like, no, second I don't want to take that survey. Second, like, of all,
exactly. No, exactly.
Get him.
That's exactly right.
Get him.
Second of all,
get honor code police on this.
Second
man.
Of all, I'm automatically thinking it's a setup. Oh, okay, so I have to say yes. I'm trapped. So two, it's a setup. It's a setup right now. There's a camera. There's a hidden camera somewhere. You are secretly a counselor. You are a bishop. Something. You have a camera in your pocket. Something.
Can you imagine Bronco Mendenhall?
Something's coming out.
Bronco Mendenhall comes out from behind the screen. You know, behind the like the what's the. The How to Catch a Predator. So what are you doing there, Brian? Yeah, right. Why do you have alcohol in your hand?
Right, exactly.
We got another one. Right. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Why are you trying to leave? Lock the door.
That's what I mean, man.
No, I came here
because
needed help.
I got a phone call, and I took the beer from him.
I took the can from him. How to Catch a Drunkard at BYU. We got the new show. It's going to be hot.
How to Catch an Honor Code Violator.
Catch an article. We got it. We've come up with so many great ideas on this show. It's ridiculous. Brandon Gurney. I don't know if you can stick around another segment. If you want to, you can. I know you got things to do, people to see, people to write up stories about. Why don't you keep it clean for us? Don't write a story about what we talked about today.
This is the soft launch.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.